Yes, it's Mother's Day again, which is good because, of course, you know, it's good to thank all the stuff that mom does for you, all the work she puts into taking care of her kids and cleaning the house and all the other and the working moms and all the things that moms do. It's good to thank mom at least once a year. So, and of course, I hope you're thanking mom more often than once a year. Because there's plenty of service and guidance and love. Just think about the amount of money that we probably spend on getting a good education, you know, typically in America, especially if you go to college. I mean, even if you don't go to college, there's all the taxes that go towards the school system. And that's, I mean, just in our town, that's in the millions. And there's many people that spend decades trying to pay off the money that they've borrowed to go to college. I mean, there's huge amounts of money that we pay for a good education in this country. And mom teaches us so many things about life for free. And so that's worth saying thank you for. And think about how many lessons you've learned from mom yourself. And I came up with a list that I found that lessons that you've learned from mom that you never had to pay tuition for. And these are just a few of the popular ones that I've heard quite a few times that people glean from their mothers. And the first one is mothers teach us about foresight and by saying, make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. And mothers teach us about logic by saying, if you fall out of that tree and break your neck, don't come crying to me. And mothers teach us about maturity, saying, eat your vegetables or you'll never grow up. And mothers teach about religion. You better pray that comes out of the carpet. And mothers teach about time travel. If you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you into the middle of next week. And mothers teach us about contradictions. Shut your mouth and eat your dinner. And they teach us about contortionism. Will you look at the dirt on the back of your neck? And about perseverance. You're going to sit here until you eat every last piece of that broccoli. And they teach us about genetics. You're just like your father. And they teach us about the weather. It looks like a tornado swept through your room. And they teach us about life. I brought you into this world, and I can take you out. So when it comes down to it, you know, most moms, they want the best for their kids. And so all the work that they put into it and the sacrifice and the teaching that they do, you know, and moms make a lot of sacrifices for their kids. And they'll do whatever it takes to help them along the way. Most moms, they put their all into taking care of their kids. And if you remember, there's a lot of moms that do this. And there was one mom that stuck out to me in the Bible. If you remember, what Jesus nicknamed his two disciples, James and John? The sons of thunder. And you hear a name like that, and the first thing that comes to mind is like professional wrestlers or football players with big bulging arms. There's the sons of thunder, these massive guys. And you think they probably had thousands of converts because they intimidated people into turning to God because of that, a name like that. But when you read a story like in Matthew 20, if you want to turn to Matthew 20, you get a whole new picture of the sons of thunder, because in fact, it might be that they got that nickname from their mom because of what goes on. The thunder might have come from mom, and so they were sons of a thunderous mom. I really don't know this, but it's possible. And if you go to Matthew 20, down to verse 21, it says, then the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, that was their dad's name, came to Jesus with her sons, and she knelt respectfully to ask a favor. What is your request? Jesus asked. She replied, in your kingdom, please let my two sons sit in places of honor next to you, one on your right and the other on your left. Talk about bold. I mean, this is mom going up to Jesus, the Messiah. And you can imagine the conversation at home leading up to this. You boys are with the Messiah every single day. You just need to go up to him and ask for a good place. I mean, he's the King of Kings, so go and do it. And they're like, Mom, we can't do that. You don't understand. And she says, well, if you won't do it, I'll go ask for you. Mom, please don't. That's going to be so embarrassing. Don't. Well, if you're not going to do it, so you can picture the conversation that might have led up to this. And before you know it, here comes Mrs. Thunder, dragging her two boys with her right up to Jesus and asking the best blessing that she can think of, you know, that's possible. She goes straight to who she knows is the one with the power, and because she wants her children to be blessed. She wants her children to have what the best that they can have. And so she doesn't hesitate to march them up to Jesus and ask for him to be able to sit on his right and his left, because that was obviously very important. And there's, you know, obviously there's more to this Bible story than I'm kind of being artistic, but I really wouldn't be surprised if these young men, James and John, as they were growing up, they learned something about the art of boldness from their mother, and that served them well as they became fishers of men under Jesus Christ. And verse, the next verse, in verse 22, it says, but Jesus answered by saying to them, he replied to all three of them, you don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering that I'm about to drink? Oh, yes, they replied, we are able. Of course, people are always quick to come, you know, with a response like that. Of course we're able. These are just probably a couple teenage year boys, and here they are. We'll do whatever it takes, God. And you can see this in a lot of people, not just the eager disciples, but, you know, in Christians in these days, they see an opportunity for something they think is going to be cool. And they have a chance to, you know, they're looking at this possibility of I get to have a mansion in heaven someday. So yeah, I'll do what it takes. I want a mansion in heaven, and you know, or they think they're going to be raptured away from all the trouble, or there's some people that will get involved with church and they'll do things because they're looking for, you know, these positive rewards. And I've actually taken people on missionary trips who signed up because they thought it would help their tan. And, you know, there's people that get involved in things because they're looking for all the rewards and they don't think about the costs. And they find out along the way of the amount of real work, of real hard work that's involved in being a Christian and the dedication that's involved in doing what Jesus tells us to do. And so people are quick to answer, and that's what they did. Oh, yeah, we're ready. And Jesus told them, you will indeed drink from my bitter cup. But I have no right to say who will sit on my right or on my left. My Father has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen. And then there's the people that they hear about these kinds of rewards and they get jealous of the ones who come into some good blessings. And they feel cheated. When it says in verse 24, when the 10 other disciples heard what James and John had asked, they were indignant. So Jesus teaches the kind of lesson that you might hear from your mom. As he, in the next few verses, that he in verse 25, he says, but Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers in this world lord it over of their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. And for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. So I think the sons of Zebedee probably learned some amazing lessons from Jesus along the way. Just some incredible teachings that, you know, things that we don't even get to hear about in the Bible that they got to glean from the Messiah as they were spending those years in the ministry with him. But they probably learned also some pretty valuable lessons from Mrs. Zebedee. I'm sure she passed, because it, like, Jeff pointed out, the dad was a Greek, so he really wasn't brought up in the tradition of the religion. There was mom who had the faith that was passed on to them. That's Timothy later on. But so they probably didn't have a Jewish father, but they got from the mom who was direct enough to go to Jesus. They probably learned some pretty incredible lessons. And obviously the one that we can pick out from these scriptures right off the top is that she exemplified going after what's most important. She took those boys right up to Jesus and she knelt before the Messiah and she said, please give my boys a position on your right and on your left. And so she said, go after what's most important. And apparently, you know, when these two boys left their fishing nets behind and followed Jesus, the parents were supportive. And here's mom saying, yeah, go for it. Go and follow this Messiah and do what you know is right. Do what is most important. A good mom, I think, knows the ultimate importance of directing her children towards Jesus. And Mrs. Zebedee and all good moms since then know that Jesus Christ, that the most important lesson that we can pass on to our kids is to put your faith and trust in Jesus and follow him and do what he tells us. And that's where I want to skip to Timothy. If you go to 2 Timothy for our scripture for today, and like Jeff said, this is Paul writing to Timothy, a letter to him, and he says, and we'll start at verse 3, Timothy, I thank God for you, the God I serve with a clear conscience, just as my ancestors did. Night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. I long to see you again, for I remember your tears as we parted. And I will be filled with joy when we are together again. I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first called your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know that same faith continues strong in you. And notice, this isn't just a lesson from mom, but it was passed on to her from her mother. So this is where the father was a Greek, so it was just the mom that was carrying on that faith, and maybe she shared it with her husband. But it started off with grandmother Lois and passed on to mother Eunice and then passed on to son Timothy, and Paul's pointing that out. And I think, you know, most people have an appreciation for their mom. I think, you know, there might be a few that just aren't very grateful, but I think in general most of us love our moms, and we all know, you know, most moms make some mistakes, and sometimes they learn how to be a good mom by testing out parenting on the first kids and then learning along the way, and that's why the oldest usually go through the school of hard knocks, and then the youngest get everything they want. But in general, mothers love their kids. And, you know, of course, there's a few kind of deadbeat moms, but in general, I think most moms that anybody knows love their kids. They'll do whatever they can. They'll make whatever sacrifices they need to make for their children, and anything that they can do. And that action, that sacrifice that they make, the time they spend teaching and working and serving and everything they do for their children, and you know, everything from changing nasty diapers when they're little and mending scraped knees and tending little sick kids in bed, and, you know, and helping with homework and going to recitals and games and whatever it is as the kids are growing up, and spending countless hours in prayer that the kids never hear about. All that time that mothers spend, you know, the action that they do demonstrates the love that they have for their kids. And so even though most of us will never really know how much work our moms have put into raising us and teaching us, unless, of course, you become a mom yourself, and then you'll learn how much work goes into it. You know, most of us, even without knowing the amount of work that goes into it, still appreciate our moms for everything that they've done and all the work that we're grateful for our mothers. And I would hope that today is, you know, it's just another day to do something special for your mom. You know, it's a holiday, and it's fun, and we can do a little, go above and beyond a little bit. But I hope that today is just an extra day, because you've already made it a habit to show your mom gratitude and to be thankful to her and support her on a regular basis. That should be a no-brainer. And you know, I'm sure you don't need me up here to tell you that you should, you know the value of having a mother and tell your mother thank you and how much of a blessing it is to be a mom. At least that's what I've heard. And I thought it would be nice today to recognize that what makes a mom the best blessing in your life, that the best blessing that she could be to her children, and that's to be a mom like Lois and to be a mom like Eunice that we're reading about. All we really learn about them from this passage, we really don't know much about them, but we learn what's most important, and that is that they passed their faith on to Timothy. And there is no more valuable lesson that a mother could teach her children than to pass on her faith. And teach your kids to put their faith in Jesus. Paul tells Timothy in the next verse, in verse 6, this is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift that God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and love and self-discipline. And, you know, I wonder how many Christian mothers, as they read their Bible to the kids, as they sing hymns or praise songs, or they talk about Jesus, and they talk about why we should live our lives for God, I wonder, you know, how many of those moms have been used by the Lord to plant those seeds, those spiritual seeds that the Holy Spirit has used to bring so many people to God. You know, how many of it is due because of what mom taught? We should certainly be thankful for the many jobs a mom undertakes. And they're countless. I mean, I wouldn't have the time to list all the things that mothers do for their children. But no one but Jesus can give us eternal life. No mother can give her children eternal life. So for her to teach her kids how to get that from Jesus is more important than anything else that a mother could teach. And so the mother who makes it a priority, a primary goal to instill the teachings of Jesus into her children, she teaches the most important lesson that she could ever teach. And a good mom doesn't just quote the scriptures. You see them lived out in her life, in the work that she does, in the sacrifice that she makes, and as she raises her children. In Philippians, jump to Philippians, in chapter 2 of Philippians, it starts off like this. It says, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish and try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others better than yourselves. Don't look out for only your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. And hopefully you're smart enough to know that moms aren't just gluttons for punishment. They don't make all those sacrifices just because they don't like enjoy. You know, they love just to work just to, for the sake of working. Moms have learned, the reason that they do all this work, have learned that life is an investment, that her children are something worth investing into. And so they invest their lives, all the work and the sacrifice and effort that goes, they invest that into their children because they know that living their lives for Jesus Christ and investing that into their kids pays off in the abundant life that Jesus talks about. Remember Jesus said, I came that they may have life and have it to the full. When a mother gives her all to her kids, she benefits from that abundant life herself, although it might not seem that way to the world. But and then her kids get it too. If they accept Jesus Christ and live for him, then they get it too. I've heard from many a mom who can tell you, including my own, about the myriad of dirty, nasty jobs she's had to do taking care of her kids and cleaning up messes and cuts and the sometimes painful jobs that moms have to do for their kids and the sacrifices they make and the pain they go through and the tears that they cry and all the things that they undertake in bringing up their kids. But all those moms that I've heard those stories from, and there's tons of stories, and they'll tell you if you ask, every single one of those moms that have told me stories like that have said that they wouldn't trade it for all the money in the world. All the dirty jobs and the hard jobs and the tears they cried and the pain they went through wouldn't trade it for anything. They would go through it again because they were glad for they loved their kids. The rewards of motherhood aren't very worldly. You know, moms typically aren't millionaires and they don't get paid for the work that they do. But the kinds of rewards that they do get from motherhood are the best kind of rewards that you can get. And as the icing on the cake, a mother who passes her faith onto her children who grow up in that and accept that and decide to live for that for themselves, a mother who passes that on can be comforted by the fact that her kids will reap the same blessings that she gets to reap. And not only do they get the abundant life now, but they get eternal life so they get to enjoy that abundant life forever. And I know, you know, this idea doesn't make much sense to a typical lawyer or an accountant because it's not worldly rewards, but those who work simply to climb the ladder of success usually find the things, you know, they find success in the things you can buy. And they usually find that those only reward so much. But the humble mom who lives a life of sacrifice and giving for her family knows the joy of life. And there is a real and deep sense of accomplishment when you give yourself to help somebody else. And hopefully all of you know that, not just moms, that when you give yourself to help somebody else, when you make a sacrifice to serve somebody else in a meaningful way, that there's you feel grateful to be able to do it. You feel a reward for being able to offer that. And so I think mothers get that even more so as they pour their lives into their kids. And that's the kind of work that good moms do every single day. And an investment banker might say that to make your first million is to really live. To become, you know, rich is to have it made. To become a, you know, a movie star is to be successful. But I like what Paul says better. To live is Christ. And to die is gain. Because they don't accept cash in eternity. And your popularity isn't going to get, your earthly popularity isn't going to get you very far in heaven. So, of course, this isn't to say that a good mom is constantly suffering and is always in abject poverty and their lives are always terrible. You know, a good family ought to be paying their moms back in thanks and in love and in praise. A good family ought to see mom as one of the most valuable assets that a family can have. And so they take good care of mom along the way and thank her and love her in the ways that they can. And a Christian mother naturally, you know, makes time for her own soul, because if she's not filled up, what can she offer her kids? The Sabbath wasn't given just for dads. So moms need a chance to take a break too. So like any person with real faith, mom has her own time with God and her own time with building her relationship with and spending time in prayer and meditating on the scriptures. Just like anybody who keeps themselves healthy, you do that. You know, if you work out or you eat right or you exercise, those kinds of things, you do that so that you can enjoy the physical activities in life. People want to be healthy so they can, you know, they work out and they exercise so they can enjoy all the stuff that we do physically in life. And a Christian mom keeps herself spiritually healthy so that she can enjoy the spiritual things in life. It kind of works the same way, and enjoy that spiritual activity with her family so that when she's filled with the Holy Spirit, she can easily pass that on to her children and teach them and help them to grow. Besides, the strongest lessons that children learn always come from what they see their parents doing rather than what their parents say. As a matter of fact, most of the time children, if there's opposite, if there's some hypocrisy and parents say one thing and do another, the children always learn to do what the parents do and not what they say. And so when mom has her spiritual priorities right, it's so much easier to get everything else organized in life. If you've got Jesus Christ lined up as your number one priority, everything else tends to fall into place. With every activity that the kids will potentially be involved in, you know, the sports and the after-school activities and school itself and all the things that kids, there's so many things offered for kids, and kids are usually busy these days. I think sometimes kids are busier these days than any kids I knew or me growing up. But with every activity that a child will potentially be involved in growing up, a good mom asks, will this activity help prosper my kid eternally, or will it take away from God? Because that really ought to be the first thing any of us ask in the activities we involve ourselves in. Will this prosper me eternally, or will this damage me eternally? And that ought to be the number one question you ask for anything you do. And so good moms pay attention to that, and it just becomes second nature to know, you know, if this is going to help or hurt. And Jesus said along those lines, what good is it to gain the whole world and lose your soul in the process? So yeah, we want our kids to be active and involved and good citizens and good students and you know, be able to get those college scholarships and whatever else is available out there, but you keep that priority aiming towards Jesus Christ. Caesar, you know, when Jesus was alive, had conquered all of Israel. He was emperor of the known world. the man with the most power and the most wealth, you know, anywhere that anybody knew. Yet I think Timothy had a whole lot more to be thankful to his mother for than Caesar had in the whole world. Because Timothy got his mom's faith, and Caesar was a pagan who died in his sins. And I'm sure most of you have heard of John Newton. If that name sounds familiar, he was born in London back in 1725 on July 24th to a Christian mom. And the only problem is she was pious and she was his teacher and she was his friend, but she died just 13 days before his 7th birthday. So he didn't get to know his mom very long, just until not even he was 7 years old. So he was left just with the memory of his mom, a godly mother who taught him a lot in those few years. So John grew up and he climbed the ladder of success, and he eventually became the commander of a merchant ship and sailed the Mediterranean. And because he made good money back in those days, John Newton became a slave trader. And, you know, and it was, unfortunately, the mother's lessons that he only got up to, you know, 6 years worth, they didn't really seem to have sunk in as he was growing up, because as he became a teenager, I think he was 11 years old, and he went off to sea. So 4 years after his mother died, he went off to sea, and it wasn't long before he was completely involved in the ungodly vices of a lot of the sailors that day. And as one author put it, he became a dissipated sailor. And his life just kind of emptied out of him as he got into the sinful living and into slave trading and just making money. And he followed this ungodly path for a lot of years and got worse and worse. And he sank deeper into immorality and into depression. And until one day, like the prodigal son, he came back to himself. And it was, he says, the memory of his mother. And it just happened to be, you know, on his ship, as he was cruising in the ocean, that he was so deep in sin and depression, and just his life had dissipated, and he felt lost. And the memory of his mother and the things that she taught him came back to his mind. And it's like he woke up to himself, and he remembered the Christian teachings and her godly life. And he considered himself and his ungodly lifestyle, and how he was so far from anything his mother had taught him, and how wretched his life had become. The recollection of his mother prompted him to seek Christ. He remembered his mom and the things that she taught him in those few years that he had growing up. And he said, I searched all over the ship looking for a Bible or some sort of Christian book that I could read. And he found one called The Imitations of Christ. And those seeds of faith that his mom had planted as he was growing up in those few years that he had with her, they sprang to life in his heart. And on May 10th, on 1748, at 22 years old, when the ship was in a violent storm and almost sank, John Newton trusted Christ with his heart and turned to God and decided he was going to follow him. And he became a preacher of the gospel, and he wrote a little song known as Amazing Grace that's touched millions and millions of lives. And as a result of his mother's investment into John Newton's life, countless numbers have been blessed. And you can bet that today his mother is thrilled of how her few years of teaching paid off. And there are so many standards that the world likes to throw at us about, you know, how we ought to live and how we ought to grow up and how we ought to measure up. Are you rich enough? You know, do you have money? Are you popular? Do you wear the right clothes? Do you go to the right schools? Do you wear the right makeup or have the right body type? And do you hang out with the in crowd? Do you eat the right food even? Do you drive the right car? Do you have the right job? And you know, there's all these kinds of things that the world likes to throw at you is, do you measure up to the world's standards? Are you good enough compared to the rest of the world? And there is only one standard that actually matters in life. There's only one standard that any of us need to worry about being counted against, and that is, are you living like Jesus Christ? And a good mother knows that and makes sure that the main lesson that she teaches in life is, you need to follow Jesus Christ. You need to live for him and let your life be like his. And everything, you know, and nothing else in comparison to that, nothing else matters. Not where you live or the job you have or what you drive or how much money you have or the clothes or the food or nothing else in life matters compared to knowing Jesus Christ and living for him. And everything that does matter in life is aligned with the will of God. Everything that really does matter besides knowing Jesus lines up behind Jesus and the will of God. So you live for him and you put all your other priorities behind him. And Scripture, the person following Christ, Scripture is a treasury of those godly lessons that mom teaches. I'll just read a few. Proverbs is jam-packed with good lessons from parents. Proverbs chapter 15, I'll just read a few of those off the top. Says, a gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge appealing, but the mouth of a fool belches out foolishness. The Lord is watching everywhere, keeping his eye on both the evil and the good. Gentle words are a tree of life. A deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Only a fool despises a parent's discipline. Whoever learns from correction is wise. There is a treasure in the house of the godly, but the earnings of the wicked bring trouble. The lips of the wise give good advice. The heart of a fool has none to give. The Lord detests the sacrifice of the wicked, but he delights in the prayers of the upright. And in general, the valuable lessons that we learn in life like these, and you can read the whole book of Proverbs. It's full of this kind of good stuff. But most of the good lessons in life that you learn from mom like this are simple. They're straightforward. They're live your life right, be honest, work hard, those kinds of things. And the mom who lives her life to teach the way of Christ and demonstrate those lessons by the example of her own life so her kids can see how it's actually lived out, a mom like that is a treasure to her family. And her children and husband should honor her every day of the year, not just Mother's Day. And of course, every child has to make up their own mind of whether they'll turn to Christ and follow him. And mothers, nobody can force Christianity on anybody else. It's impossible to make somebody else believe and follow God. But we will all give an accounting for how much we tried to pass that message on. Whether or not someone accepts it isn't our problem. Whether we tried to teach it is our problem. And so we will give an accounting for what we did with the resources God has entrusted us with. And moms have a great resource. Moms and dads have a great resource in their children. And how they handle that resource, you moms hold a powerful influence in the lives of your children, young and old. And so wield that power with wisdom and with love. It's funny because I think last year on Mother's Day, I played that Bill Cosby clip where he talks about his son and he works his whole life teaching his son to grow up and to be a man, and he teaches him football and knocks him around and gets him tough, and he goes to the football game after he spent years trying to teach his son how to play football and to be a good player, and he's gets into play and he gets the ball and he knocks everybody else down with his brute strength and he makes that touchdown and he turns to the camera and says, "Hi, Mom." And and it's true around the world, it seems, is that people love to thank their mom. They remember mom and they want to say hi, mom, when they see the camera. And that's the influence that a mom has on our kid. And so when you have that influence, when you instill that in your kids, when your kids turn around to the camera and they say hi, mom, let it be because you have instilled your children with the lessons of the Lord Jesus. Let it be for valuable reasons and not just because they thought you were cool. Let it be because they remember you for teaching them the most important lessons in life, and so that they're thankful that they have that best gift that they could have and the strongest teaching that they could learn that you bestowed that on. God says he will show his love to 1,000 generations to those who love him and keep his commandments. To 1,000 generations, he says, that people who obey God and love him, he'll pass on blessings as far as, it's basically the wording says, you can't imagine how much I want to bless you. So if you live for me, I will bless you in ways that you'll never comprehend. And so Mom, teach your children to obey the commandments of Christ so that they can have those blessings, so that you can have those blessings passed on to your children. When you make those sacrifices and spend that time teaching and working and instilling your kids, teach them this most important lesson in life, because they'll get more blessings than anything else that you teach them from that. And the rest of you, thank your mom for that. Thank your mom for the work that she's put into teaching you those lessons. And the best way to thank her is to obey it, to live out the obedience of Christ's commands and do it. Just like Jesus said, those who love me, obey me. Those who love your mom, obey her. So say thanks to mom by doing what she says. Sound good? Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for mothers, because life just would not be as good without them. I thank you that so many moms just naturally are willing to pour so much into us and to teach us and to make sacrifices for us and work hard for us to make sure that we're cared for and provided for. Thank you so much for mothers today. I pray that all the mothers here know how grateful their children are and know the blessings of having their kids secure in Christ and know the blessings of doing their best to have passed on your commandments and their faith. Lord, and I pray that you would help all those who still have children and mothers today living, that you would help us to continue to pass those lessons on and to thank our mothers and to live that kind of life that honors you and is a blessing to you and to our moms. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.